Welcome back to the TPO Rankings Podcast. My name is Cody, with me Jake. Jake, how are you this evening?
Excellent, Cody. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Yeah, doing really well, thank you. So on tonight's podcast, Jake, we are discussing some FFA Cup, some of the biggest mismatches slash games that we are looking forward to. There's been a few draws around the country so far and more to come. We're starting up FFA Cup tipping. So listen out for that one, and we'll have some information how you can get involved. We'll be discussing the weekend's results from the A-League, as well as the under-23 draft, how our teams and players are going. And we'll be discussing the TPO rankings, biggest movers from the month of January. Let's kick things off with the A-League, Jake. Anything catch your eye over the weekend? Did you watch many of the games?
I did try and catch, I didn't catch all of them, and I didn't catch any game in full, so I kind of got bits and pieces. Which one stood out? I mean, obviously Brisbane Roar, being in Brisbane, I caught most of that game, sitting top of the table, or at least they were. I'm not sure if that's changed or will change tonight, depending on the Mariners and how that one goes. And we should say, at time of recording that game, Mariners and Melbourne City is still going 2-2 at the moment. So that game, Brisbane Roar, I thought looked okay. Obviously got a result, and that's 3 wins from 3, I think, Cody, which is the first time that's happened in a little while. Trying to think which other ones caught my eye. I mean, Newcastle's still kind of struggling, although they got their first point of the season. Western Sydney probably...
Jets won the week or 2 weeks before they beat Phoenix.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. You're right. I don't know what to make of that one. I thought probably a draw was a fair result, but I remember thinking at the time, either team, if they'd won it, I would have been okay with that.
Okay, well, let's quickly run through each game, Jake. As you mentioned, Western Sydney Wanderers and Jets won all. Abini scored and O'Donovan scored with a pen. We'll leave it there for that one. The next game, MacArthur v Sydney, and whatever, I don't know what they're calling this derby, if it is a derby at all.
Milligan with a Battle of the Bridge or something like that. I don't know.
I thought that was the... Oh, is it that one, was it? I thought that was the... one of the Melbourne...
You might be right. I don't even care.
Don't even care, fair enough. Milligan with an early red card, and Sydney too good in the last, I think they scored 3 goals in the last 25 minutes. Two goals to, I forget his first name, is it Chris maybe? Or anyway, Wood is his surname.
Patrick
Wood, yep. And neither of us had him in our under-23 draft, Jake. Maybe an oversight there. I don't know how many goals he'll score.
I believe, I have Bahaja, and I'm pretty sure he came off for Patrick Wood, so... Okay. Didn't work out so well for me.
Yeah. Anyways.
Only 18 years old, though, I think, they said.
Yeah, okay. Oh, good stuff. Nil all between Western United and Victory. Western United denied by VAR, an offside goal, which Mark Ridan wasn't too pleased about. Did you see that or read much about that on Twitter, Jake?
I saw the replay and read a bit about it. I kind of agree with him, to be honest.
Yeah, it's more about the use of VAR, I think, and the consistency and the angles of the Fox cameras, and not much you can do about that, though, is there? And as you mentioned,
well, Jake, not if the broadcasters are not going to put enough cameras and put the money into it, I suppose.
While we're on Fox Sports, Jake, obviously you would have seen on Twitter the footage from the W League where some poor folk got
trumpet guy.
Yeah, and I suppose it was funny in the moment. Then people started to get a bit angry, and I heard a few podcasts talking about how it's not acceptable, and I guess I agree with people. It's not acceptable to, you know, we are hosting a World Cup soon. This is our professional league. But on the other hand, Jake, people are having to go at Fox Sports. I suppose there is a contract, you know, there's money paid, so there is a service that needs to be rendered. However, who else is going to put these games on? People are always having a go at Fox Sports, and I totally agree. We do need to find another solution, but I don't know who else is going to play these games.
Well, I mean, the ideal is somebody like an Optus Sport or a Stan or one of the streaming kind of platforms, isn't it? But in terms of interest, who knows who has the interest and the money to put up there?
Well, that's what I mean, though. People complain, and well, no one else is putting money up to play the games. No one's buying the rights, so. They keep bagging Fox Sports, and I get it. I understand why, but at least they're putting some money up for it. And I mean, I don't know the ins and outs and all the problems we've had and how they've sort of, during COVID, they bent us over a barrel, so to speak. But they're still paying for the A-League rights and they're still showing the games. And I think people, I don't know, what there's still a service there. We can still tune in and watch the games. And I think people got to go a little bit easier on Fox Sports sometimes.
Well, I think, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's going to be one of those things that let's give it the remaining 5 months of the existing contract. And I think most people hope that there's another solution.
Well, there has to be another solution, I suppose. Otherwise, we'll stay with Fox Sports. But, yeah, I don't know. At least they're still picking up the rights for now. So on to the next game, Jake, which was Brisbane Roar versus Adelaide, which the kickoff got delayed due to, I think, a big storm down in the Sydney game. And obviously the broadcasting rights, we can't have two games going on at once. So that
which
got
is,
delayed.
By the way, I don't want to pile on, but I find that ridiculous.
Well, that we have part to of the delay. Contract, though.
Yeah, but this is just the sort of power that obviously the broadcaster has when I'm maybe speaking a bit idealistic, but they shouldn't be able to control things like that. I mean, we didn't go to the game, but imagine being at the game half an hour beforehand and then you hear, oh, we're going to have to wait around 45 minutes because it's raining in Sydney, you know?
Yeah, but there was 8,000 people at the game. There's more than 8,000 people watching on TV and they would have missed how many minutes of the game?
Oh, I hear. I get it. But I just don't think that we should be letting the broadcaster make decisions like that. It's no, more of a, you know, anyway, it is what it is.
I disagree on that one, Jake. I think you've got to wait. I mean, that's probably, it's in the contract, obviously, as is probably not putting people with trombones on broadcasts. So, you know, there's on both sides of the fence there, but you've got to wait. I mean, it would happen in other countries as well.
I think argument that I read, somebody said as a possibility, which I guess makes sense as well, is Fox Sports potentially are already, you know, they're reducing the resources they're putting to these games and these broadcasts. They probably had people who are doing the job for both games. So maybe they didn't actually have the capacity or the capability to do two at the same time. Maybe that's why they just couldn't, they have to. That, you know, I guess I would understand that argument. Mm-hmm. Still didn't like it though.
Yeah, fair enough. And the kickoff was already late. I think it was 8 o'clock originally or something around that time. And then it got our time, which is 9 o'clock down south, and then got delayed another 40 minutes. But anyway, Wenzel Hall's equal top goal scorer after that game, Jake, with I think a couple other people. I think there's D'Agostino, maybe McLaren now as well. After this game, he's just scored. And
did you see Wenzel Hall's, that header was a quality header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I did. He's on form and hang on. Did he score? No, I didn't see. I did watch the highlights. I can't remember the header though. I'll have to go back and watch.
No, it was just one of those kind of running, glancing headers. He ran kind of front post, got in front of the defender, and it looked like the defender didn't realise he was kind of coming in front of him and goalkeeper barely moved. It was just a really great header.
I'll have to go back and watch that one. The Knicks beat Central Coast Mariners, so Central Coast are no longer top, at least of time or right now. Actually, with this draw, would they go back on top, Jake? I think they might, because they've played two games. Then the Roar, with this point, they would go back, I think, 1 point above.
Yeah, you might be right.
I watched some of this and watching this game at the moment just on my phone. And Central Coast is playing well, Jake. They're a different team to last year. They seem, I don't know what they've changed, but maybe the fitness levels, the intensity levels, or maybe there's a bit of luck or a bit of everything, all of that combined. And they're actually playing some nice football and they're not the team that you would sort of expect to lose every game. So it's good to see because I always, you know, when a team's losing season after season and getting belted, you sort of start feeling sorry for them and you think, geez, how do they turn this around? And obviously money isn't turning them around, but they've dug deep and whatever's happening down that way is working, at least at this point of the season.
Hopefully it continues.
And then the last game there was Perth beating City 3-1. I didn't watch it, but, Perth... Get this, Jake. Perth are the highest goals for and against. So they've scored, yeah. I think they've scored 13 goals in 4 games and conceded 11. So if you want an entertaining game, they're the team to watch.
Definitely. I mean, they've got an inexperienced back line, or at least some of the younger guys like Josh Rowlands, who's in my under-23 team, who got pulled off early again. But, conceding a lot, scoring more.
Moving on to fantasy, and I just can't get my squad right, Jake. Another six players for me didn't play this week. I keep picking players who aren't playing, and I know with EPL fantasy, you can't, you know, an hour and a half before kickoff of the very first game, you're locked out. But with A-League fantasy, you can make changes before each game, as long as, you know, that player or the players haven't played in any way.
Yep.
But I just can't be bothered, to be honest. I'd rather set it at the start of the weekend and not wait for kickoff to make any changes. And I prefer to do that this year, and it's probably going against me. Cause
yeah, whereas I prefer to do well, so.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And it's a little bit too much effort for me at the moment, and it's obviously showing in the results, Jake. But fortunately, Kilkenny pulled 17 points, and I captained Ninkovic, who scored me 36. I think you've done well this week again with Kilkenny, and you captain McLaren, who scored games, I think.
Yep, so Melbourne City having two games this round, same as Perth, so that's why Kilkenny did well. But yeah, McLaren's on two goals so far.
Nice one. All right, let's move on to the under-23 draft team, Jake. So you've added up in our Google Sheet there all the points. And before this game, so not including the current game going, which I think I've got a few players playing involved, you're leading 311 points to my 279. So you got a pretty healthy lead there. But as I mentioned, I've got a couple of players here. Do you have any players in this game? I don't think you do.
No, I think you had three on the list that had potential to play, Metcalf being the main one for City, and Josh Nisbet for Central Coast. You've got the three players. I'm done for the week. This game week alone, though, I think so far, again, excluding this game that's going on right now, I've got 58 points from my players and you're on 52. So it's by the time you add up these last few, we're going to be pretty close.
Yeah, and again, people, for those listening, this is off the SportsSec fantasy system, how we're scoring points. And just to give you the top three players so far this season, Jake, number one, D'Agostino, who was my first pick from Perth on 50 points. Tate Russell, who was where did you pick him? He was your second pick from Western Sydney.
Right up early.
He is on 49 points. And then Jake Brimmer, who is also your pick, is on 48 points. So they're the top three. And you picked Jake Brimmer at eighth. So, I'm enjoying this so far, Jake, keeping an eye on the under 23 players. And I'll post to social media, hopefully, maybe on the Friday or Saturday, and with a bit of a points updates for those who are following along at all. And,
we're also, I think I mentioned this last week, and it's only something that I'm remembering right now, but I'm also going to have a look at any of the other under 23s that neither of us picked, and kind of see which were the main ones that we've missed. And obviously the Toure brothers are probably the main one that comes to mind, and now Patrick Wood's doing well, but I think it's worth keeping an eye on those guys as well.
Yeah, I think particularly Mo Toure, the younger one, although maybe not, maybe we just put more stock in people, the kids who are younger and doing well. But the coach there, Carl Viet, I'm pretty sure he had a quote, something like he's the most talented young footballer surely he didn't say he's ever seen, but or maybe he just said he's the most talented young footballer in Australia at the moment, one of those two quotes. So he sees him day in, day out at training, and he's an experienced player himself. So I'm pretty excited by him, and I kind of wish I'd picked him. But I think a couple more years in the A-League, and I could see a decent move for him, maybe to the lower leagues in Europe, and then if he does well there, potentially a step up. He's obviously very athletic, so we'll see how he goes. All right, Jake, a couple more segments here, just to, again, another shorter episode before we get into the NPL season and the FFA Cup action, where our shows hopefully have a bit more meat, a bit more substance. But all right, let's move on to FFA Cup tipping, Jake. So for those who want to get involved, I'll quickly run through how we're doing it this year. So we have a Facebook group called FFA Cup Tipping, I believe that's what it's called. You search
that? Sense.
Yeah, I've set up the automatic approval, membership approval, so you can just join. If you start spamming, obviously I can delete people who do that, but for now you can jump in, and the rules are all laid out. But basically you pick which teams will make the final 32. So you just so for Queensland, you're picking four clubs, for New South Wales, four, Victoria, four, the South Australian, Northern New South Wales get two each, West Australia two, and the one each from Northern Territory, Tasmania, ACT. And basic, so that's 21 clubs, because we also, Wollongong Wolves, keep their automatic spot from the year before. And then the person who picks the most teams who make the final 21 wins bragging rights. That's basically it. Hey, Jake.
Yeah, so it's obviously meant to be a bit different than most tipping where you're picking results every week. This is a pick it once at the start and that's it.
Yeah, and I'm keeping a Google Sheet here, and I see, Jake, you've added in some of the tips from the Facebook group, and I noticed that I've put my tips down, but you haven't put yours.
No, I'm going to keep that one secret. No, yeah. I've just been lazy, to be honest.
So you'll probably just copy mine.
No need. I want to win.
That was pretty good, actually. I like my tips, particularly my little, for those who haven't read the rules, you get 1 point. Oh, that's right. There's a scoring system. You get 1 point for every club who makes it in the final 32 in the top NBL system, but you get, I believe it was 3 or 5 points. I think it was five.
We said five. For yeah, and I went back and had a look. The average each year is three non-NPL clubs make it in.
Non-top NPL clubs.
Yeah, sorry, not that, you know, the top current tier. Second tier. Yeah. So an NPL 2 or State League or whatever it is. So in previous years, the most we've ever had in a single year was four. Some years there's only been two. Just to interrupt live, Cody, somebody has just got an absolute belter for Mariners, takes them to silver, was it? I didn't. Yep.
Looked like there might have been a foul leading up to it, but maybe VAR will check that. But yeah, keep going, Jake.
So somewhere around two, three or four clubs every year that aren't in that top NPL make it. So if you can manage to pick one or two of those, that's, you know, 5 to 10 points right there. So, but it's risky because not many of them make it.
I only pick one this year.
Can I give you, Cody, this is very quick, and I haven't entered all of the tips, and we're obviously still accepting the tips for another week and a half or so, but based on what we've got right now, I'll give you a couple of the clubs that have been picked the most, and they are Lions from Queensland, have been picked by a pretty big majority. Edgeworth Eagles, I think, has been picked by almost everybody from Northern New South Wales. Sydney United, South Melbourne, Olympic FC from Queensland, Campbelltown City, Bentley Greens, Rockdale City Suns, Broadmeadow Magic, and ECU Joondalup. So those are the clubs that seem to be coming up the most at the moment.
Okay. So, yeah, feel free to jump on in. Again, to the Sunday, Valentine's Day is the cutoff, actually. We'll stop counting tips after that one, I suppose. So moving on, Jake, to the FFA Cup mismatches / interesting games that we have coming up. So I believe the only states to have done the FFA Cup draws are Queensland and Western Australia.
Correct.
We're in Queensland, so there's obviously a bit of interest here. Last year we both played for AC Carina in Capital One Brisbane League, and that's probably my game of interest because I've now moved from Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast, and the team that we played for, AC Carina, are playing the premiers of Sunshine Coast, the Premier League up here in Noosa. Noosa have been a very, very strong team for, you know, a handful of years. I think they've won the league in about 3 or 4 years in a row. I know they've lost their coach, so maybe that often brings change within the club, so maybe they're a different team this year, but I'm really interested to see how that game goes with some of the old guys and obviously the guys we work with as well. AC Carina versus Noosa, so that for me, Jake, is probably the game I'm most interested in, apart from, of course, the game I'm involved in myself. I play for Caloundra, and we play the local team Coolum up here as well, so in another week and a half. But Jake, have you got any games you've picked out?
Yeah, there's a couple here, and I'll caveat this by saying I'm not looking at Western Australia just yet. I did have a quick look, but the draw that's been done so far only goes up. It's basically regional teams and up to the Amateur Premier League. So the Amateur Premier League isn't in our rankings, which is why I haven't looked at it yet. So the State League or the Division 2 and Division 1 teams or those leagues won't come in until the next round. At the moment, all we've got is Queensland. Victorian draw is in the next day or two. So after that, we'll be able to, maybe next week, we'll talk about that. So in terms of the other Queensland games, I've picked out another. The Carina Noosa one that you've mentioned was one of mine, mainly because obviously there's an interest in Carina, but also being a Capital One team versus Sunny Coast previous champions. I've picked three more games here, which are also ones that I'll be watching, and they're mostly because they're teams from different leagues, but are also reasonably close on the rankings. So it'll be interesting to see kind of whether they turn out to be even games or not. So one of them is Kawana from the Sunshine Coast playing West Wanderers from Toowoomba or Southwest Queensland Premier League, and they're ranked reasonably close to each other. There is a bit of a gap, and the Kawana, the Sunny Coast team, is probably favourite there. There's another one between, same sort of thing, Sunny Coast and Toowoomba, and that's Maroochydore versus Willowburn. Although Willowburn plays in both the Toowoomba Premier League and in Brisbane's Capital Two this year. So whichever's the strongest of those, I'm not sure. But they are actually ranked quite close as well. So Willowburn, probably the, at least from a rankings point of view, the favourites there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it works out the other way. So that's the other one. And then one more, which is a Gold Coast team, Robina City, up against another Brisbane team from Capital One, which is Pine Hills. And this one's probably, out of all the games that we've mentioned, this one is one that involves teams that are the most closely ranked. So Pine Hills currently ranked 561st, and Robina is ranked 529th. So about a 37 team gap between the two. So that one, again, people listening probably haven't heard, unless you're in Queensland, of most of these teams. But for me, the interest here is more about seeing teams from different leagues and seeing how they compare on paper, or at least from a rankings point of view, and how that actually plays out in reality.
Yeah, for sure. And we should probably mention, Jake, that the FFA Cup games count for a little bit more when moving up and down the rankings, because it's the best way to adjust the rankings and get those interstate and interleague adjustments and the rankings to sort of move up and down and transfer points. So I think it's worth about 50% more. Is that right?
The interleague games like these, so teams from the same state but different leagues, they get a little bit of a boost. The biggest ones are always going to be the interstate when we get into the national level. But these ones are obviously important to help calibrate the rankings.
Good stuff. Well, we will keep an eye on the draws coming up and then some of these games as they start to play. I believe some of them might even, I'm not sure about this weekend, but
No, I believe they're all next weekend, so the 12th to the 14th. And Cody, I didn't give you the biggest mismatch. Mouthful. This is the one where there's a huge gap in the rankings between these two clubs, and it's Redcliffe PCYC, who are in the Capital Three, so the lowest league in Brisbane's kind of structure, and they're ranked 746th out of 760 clubs, so they're right near the bottom. And they're playing Surfers Paradise from Gold Coast, who are the last year's champions, made the round of 32 a couple of years ago, and they're ranked 147th, so very big gap.
Yeah, okay. Interesting stuff. Alrighty, so let's finish this episode, Jake, with the Tipio rankings January biggest movers, and I suppose it's not that interesting because really it's just A-League clubs.
It's not at all interesting, is it? But I'll tell you what who the clubs are anyway. The biggest mover down, to be honest, actually what I'm going to do, Cody, is let you guess this, and I think you'll get the biggest mover up wrong because you'll go for the obvious and it's probably not them. So who do you reckon is the biggest mover up in January?
Well, it's not Central Coast because you just told me it's wrong. It's Brisbane.
It is Brisbane. There you go. Shouldn't have given you the clue. So Brisbane's had three wins from three in January. They lost to Melbourne City, but that was in December. So, biggest mover up the table or up the rankings this week is Brisbane this month. And biggest mover down?
Adelaide?
No, this one is the obvious answer if you think about it.
Sydney?
No, maybe not so obvious. It's Newcastle.
Oh, really? I thought they were already being quite low.
No, see, that's the thing. From the last couple of years, they were still kind of mid-table, or, you know, they're ranked in the middle of the A-League clubs.
Yeah.
And their January was three losses and that draw, and I'm not sure when the win was, but it would have been in there. But, yeah, because of those losses, they're the biggest mover down the rankings.
And, Jake, are you recording from New York City with those sirens in the background or what?
Yeah, there's something going on here, isn't there? Fire engines racing past.
Okay,
I'm safe, though.
Well, Jake, that's pretty much it for this episode. Is there anything else you want to mention? Should we mention some sports cards? Soccer cards?
Yeah, do it. Go on.
All right. Well, I had a
couple. You're the one that needs to talk to this because I don't really know what I'm doing, but let the people know.
Sure. You know what you're doing, Jake. You know what you're doing. You just got in a little bit later than me and the price has already rise. But we're still going to do probably a full episode on cards, and we should probably do that before the NPLs kick off, so we sort of don't – while we still don't have a lot to talk about, we might even bring someone on. I had someone offer who runs their own podcast to come on and talk to us, and he's an Australian content creator, a really good one too. So, but anyways, Jake – soccer cards are now a thing. Sports cards have been a thing for, you know, a long time, and people, it's getting more and more attention in the media. A lot of people, a lot of celebrities, sports people are buying cards, getting involved. There's a lot of money, institutional money. It's sort of viewed as modern art, and you can grade these things, you can display them, people put them in vaults, and you can even buy shares, fractional shares, into sports cards. So,
and to give an idea of some of these, like, there's been a couple of recent cards, and obviously most people probably in Australia recognise or know about it from basketball or baseball cards back in the day. But there's been some recent cards, like there was a Pele one went for over $1 million, and a Cristiano Ronaldo card just in the last week sold for $205,000, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't think Pele's gone for over $1 million yet, Jake. I don't think we've had a soccer card. We say soccer because that's just what in the industry they call it. Obviously, they've got their NFL as football, so it took a little bit of adjusting, but you just got to use the word soccer. I don't think any soccer card's gone for over $1 million, but I'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
but
fair enough. It was up there anyway. We're talking like some of these are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Just last week sold $200,000+ for a bit of cardboard with a picture on it. And it's crazy what people will pay money for. But as I said, it's sort of viewed as modern art, and these things are limited. There's obviously only so many of different cards, and it's a big wide world, and you've got to educate yourself a lot. And there's certainly a lot of content creators. If you just want to search soccer cards or investing, soccer card investing or something like that on YouTube, there's so many content creators now creating awesome content. There's there's one, if you really want to look at like a very valuable collection, there's a guy called, I think it's FC Sport. I'll have to look it up. But he basically records in front of a wall he's got to have a couple million dollars just behind him in literally sports cards. It's crazy. I've sold a couple of, literally yesterday I sold a card I won't say the exact amount, but a couple thousand dollars, and I paid sort of around $500 for that. I think it was I timed it right. I'm definitely not a genius. It's more about the lucky timing, but there's certainly money to be made, and there's a lot of money coming into this hobby. They call it the hobby, because people get a lot of joy out of collecting things. And I've actually got on my shelf in my home some cards displayed, definitely not my expensive ones, just some cheaper ones that mean something to me, like a little Thomas Broich, Harry Kuehl. And I'll have you know that the Australian players certainly aren't worth anything, just a couple of dollars each at most. But I don't know, Jake, I've sort of given a broad overview. Anything else to add there?
If you're new to soccer cards, or if this is the first you're kind of hearing about it, it might seem like it's I'm getting cards as a collection. And, you know, back in the day, people would get these things and stickers, Panini stickers, people might know, and you put them in an album and that's it. It's not about, well, I mean, it is about that, but it's not that anymore only. It really is an investment. I mean, the value in some of these things is, I sound like I'm trying to spruik it, Cody, but the market for soccer cards is one that you can really make a lot of money if you're kind of looking at it in the right way and doing your research as you've done. So, it's not just a collect these cards and put them in an album sort of thing anymore.
And I guess the general consensus when people talk about soccer cards is that we're only at the beginning. The big rush is still to come, with Euros obviously coming this year with a lot of interest. And then with the hype of big competitions brings eyeballs, and that's when people start buying cards and things like that too. So we've got Euros, we've got the World Cup the following next year, and then the big one, as people say, is the World Cup 2026, which is in North America, and that's where predominantly most of the buyers are coming from, at least right now. But a lot of people also predict that there'll be a big influx of people from Europe, where the game is obviously most popular. So I think there's still a long way to go. So if you're hearing this and thinking, you know, I heard about that, but maybe I've missed the boat. You certainly haven't. I think we're still very, very early. And if you just go back and look at the price rises over the last, you know, 12 months, 24 months, people were saying even, you know, 8 months ago that they'd missed the boat on something that might be, say, $2,000, which now could be up to $80,000. I'm not saying you're going to make $80,000 from a $2,000 investment. I know some people have, but I certainly think there's still opportunity there. And Jake, it's one of those things as well, people come in to maybe earn a couple of $100 and are flipping some cards or something like that. But they sort of fall in love with the hobby itself and start the collections as well. And I know that I certainly have sort of gone down that route. I came in to earn a bit of extra money and you know, see what it's all about. And I've sort of gone, well, actually, now let's maybe turn our attention to some of the Australian soccer cards and maybe we start collecting those. And we're going to be talking about that in the future as well.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. I've talked enough. So anything else to add, Jake, before we say our goodbyes?
No, let's get out of here.
All right. Goodbye, go home, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.